What's up and welcome to the Active Amputee Podcast. Everything people with a limb difference need to live an active and exciting lifestyle. I'm Bjorn Eser, the founder of and shaker and maker behind the Active Amputee. And you're listening to episode number 28. And as this is the last episode before Christmas, I thought I'd share a few travel stories. So this one is mainly about flying as an above-knee amputee. Enjoy! Those dreadful security checks. As you all know, I'm an amputee, I'm active, I travel. Actually, I travel quite a lot. For the last 20-odd years, I have been working in various capacities in the wider field of international development assistance. I have visited, lived and worked in more than 30 countries, sometimes only for a few days, sometimes for several years. I have lived and worked next to a tropical beach with a stunning coral reef just 100 meters off the coast. And I have lived and worked in war zones. I had beautiful encounters with amazing people all over the world. And I had horrible experience, often when you least expect them. And looking back, I don't want to miss a single one of these experiences. They made me who I am today. Well, having said all that and thinking about it more, I think there's one thing I wouldn't miss for a second. And that's security checks at airports. While they often make good stories afterwards, I generally find them pretty annoying, often dreadful, and sometimes outright humiliating. Here are some of my experiences from recent years. I hope you enjoy them. Three personal experiences. Number one, it's all about the right impression. This one is currently my favorite. It happened a few years ago in India, and no, I will not give away the name of the airport, nor will I tell you the name of the officer I'm talking about. I don't want to get anyone in trouble. You must know that in many Asian airports you're required to have a tag on your carry-on luggage. Your boarding pass and this paper tag are then stamped when you pass through the security check. If you don't have the stamp, you're not boarding the plane. Given the long queues in many airports, it can be that you make it through the metal detector way before your carry-on luggage makes it through the x-ray machines. Yes, I know it's not actually an x-ray, some of you pointed that out, but let me just call them x-ray machines because I have no clue what technology is actually used in these screening machines. As I always set off the metal detector, I'm routinely checked with a handheld device. Once I mention that I'm an above-knee amputee and that I'm wearing a prosthesis, I'm normally asked to follow an officer to a separate room, sometimes far away, where I have to undergo additional checks. Sometimes this only involves a quick look at the artificial knee, but often the additional screening includes taking off my pants and taking off my prosthesis. Yes, you heard right, taking off the prosthesis. The prosthesis is then put through the machine and returned to me. My passport number and or the boarding pass details are entered into a ledger. I sign it and I can go. Depending on my mood of the day and the way I'm treated during these checks, I'm willing to take off the prosthesis. Or not. This time the officer was very friendly, waited for me to get my carry-on luggage and treated me with respect. So I had no objections to the additional checks I was expecting. Once we were in the extra screening room, I was just about to take off my prosthesis and hand it over to him so he could run it through the screening machines. But he stopped me and explained, "No need to take it off. We just wait here for a few minutes and then you can go. Then everyone will think that you have been checked properly. But I know that these extra checks are very annoying. My uncle also lost a leg and he has a prosthesis. And he always complains about the trouble he has when he goes through the airports." I had to smile. We chatted for a while and after a few minutes I was on my way to the gate. Experience number two, let him go. Jinnah International Airport in Karachi is Pakistan's busiest airport, at least as far as I can tell. The terminal was packed and I was lining up for a domestic flight. a walkthrough security check was placed rather randomly in the middle of the hall. At least that was how it seemed to me. People filed through, I heard the on and off beep of the metal detector, some people then got rid of small change in their pockets, took off their shoes and belts and the like, and repeated the check, and were cleared. Others exchanged a few sentences with the security staff, declined to repeat the security, and left the area without any problems. When it was my turn, I set off the usual beep and the blinking lights, I explained my situation to the officer, and he demanded me to take off the leg, right there. I objected, friendly and respectful, but without leaving any doubt that taking off the prosthesis was not an option, not right there. As he didn't offer an extra room for me to undergo the extra checks, I didn't want to ask for one. That morning, I was not in the mood to go through any extra hassle. The fit of my prosthesis had been bad for a couple of weeks. Each morning was the same struggle of getting into the socket. Given the tropical conditions of southern Pakistan, I just dreaded the idea of having to take the leg off just to fight my way back into the socket again a few minutes later. The officer repeated his demand that I take off the leg. I repeated, friendly but with determination, that I for sure was not going to do so. We both had another two goes of more or less the same sentences before it was clear that this wouldn't go anywhere. In the meantime, people behind me started to get involved. Unfortunately, I don't speak any Urdu and wasn't able to understand what people were saying. Some talked among themselves, others started to address the security officer. I guess they were just asking him to let me go so that they could finally clear security and get to their gates. This continued for a few minutes, and the discussions were more and more between the security officer on the one hand and people in the queue behind me on the other hand. Soon, I was only a spectator to the whole hullabaloo. This whole commotion came to an abrupt end when an elderly man entered the seam. "Just let him go," was all he said. The officer looked at the man, then he looked at me and waved me through. I have no clue who this man was. I'm not sure if it was just the fact that he was significantly older than the officer and thus needed to be respected, or if he was someone well known in the area, someone with social status, someone with power. But whatever it was, I was deeply impressed by the dynamics at play and by the way the situation changed abruptly. I thanked both the elderly man as well as the security officer. I turned around and apologized to the people that had to wait longer because of me. And then I made it to the gate, all in time to catch my plane to Islamabad. Experience number 3. I thank you for your honest answer. The last story is again set in India. It's a bit older, before one of the airports along the eastern coast had a makeover, getting modern equipment for the security checks. I had booked a domestic flight back to Delhi. After dropping off my luggage, I headed to the security check and, as I set off the alarm as usual, was asked to take off my prosthesis so that it could go through the X-ray machine. First, I objected. I explained that I find it humiliating and that there must be another way to clear me for the flight. I was told that there wasn't another way to clear me. Either my artificial limb will travel through the machine or I will not travel anywhere. "Could I please talk to your supervisor?" I asked. A few minutes later, the supervisor approached me and repeated more or less what I was told earlier. Either my leg is checked or I will stay right there, not traveling anywhere. After a few more exchanges of arguments, I agreed to the proposed procedure and was led to an office just next to the security check, with a big window facing the area where all the people lined up. No curtains, no nothing. "I might as well charge people for the entertainment," I said. But what could I do? So down went the jeans, off went the prosthesis, which was then handed to the security officer, who ran it through the machine before it was given back to me just a few minutes later. I could see that the officer who accompanied me to the side office was obviously not very comfortable with the whole situation. I broke the silence and explained, "I know, you're just doing your job, and from a security point of view, I think you're right. I could pose a security threat. But for me, these additional checks, often including taking off the leg more or less in public, are a nuisance. they're outright humiliating. And I don't mean no disrespect, but sometimes I'm just not willing to go through all that. I'm sorry, sir, but we need to do this. Can I ask you something? Can I ask you if you would have requested me to take off my leg if I would have been, let's say, an elderly woman, maybe the age of your mother? No, sir, I would have just waved you through, maybe helped you through, also if you would have been an elderly man. I smiled. So I just have to wait a bit until I look older, I said, and then flying will be so much easier. That's great to know. I laughed. I thanked him for his honest answer. I wished him a nice evening and proceeded to the boarding gate. Somehow, this little conversation at the end turned a rather unpleasant experience into a good one. An encounter with a human touch, reminding me again that the security personnel is in an almost impossible situation, doing an impossible job day in, day out. Balancing the need for security with the respect for people with disabilities. Some security personnel in some countries insist on a very thorough check once I mention that I'm an above knee amputee, even before any of the machines start their usual light show. Others almost faint with embarrassment and quickly wave me through once I show a tiny bit of the artificial leg. They wave me through even after setting off the alarms of the metal detectors. And I guess you could make a good case for either one of these reactions, or any of the other reactions I regularly get, that is. I know, it's not easy to balance the public interest for safety in the aviation industry with the right of people with disabilities to be treated in a respectful way. There's no one-size-fits-all. In my eyes, there's no right or wrong, even if many security experts disagree with me on that one. For each and every person with a disability that sets off the alarms, they need to decide what to do and how to proceed. Each and every time, it's a judgment call where they have to balance potential security threats with a respectful way of engaging with the individual person. And each situation is unique. How I experience these situations depends on many factors, not just the way I'm treated as a security gate. That is just one of them, although it's a key one in my eyes. But it also depends a lot on my mood of the day, whether I have just started my trip or if I'm already on the road for 24 or 30 or more hours. It depends on the fit of my prosthesis on that very day, on the country I'm in, on its culture and what's appropriate, and on so many other factors. But in the end, it's often the attitude of the behavior of the individual officer dealing with me that makes all the difference. I know they're doing their job. And they are in an almost impossible situation. Their job is, first and foremost, to keep the general public safe. Being friendly is a nice to have and not a must have in most of their job descriptions. If I'm treated with respect, I'm normally very willing to cooperate. If not, I either throw in the towel right away and play by their rules, or I can be a pretty stubborn piece of work, which doesn't help either. So I really encourage people to communicate more and to really make this easier for both sides. I hope you enjoyed these three stories, and I really would love to hear your experiences. Did you have similar experiences when traveling as an amputee, or maybe completely different ones? I would love to hear about them. Add them to the comment section or send me a mail telling me all about them. I might publish them on my blog or invite you to this podcast. Good, so much for now. As this is the last episode before Christmas, here's a special treat. In the January episode, if everything works as we have planned it, I have the pleasure of talking with Enoch Glidden, and in anticipation of this very special interview, here's a little sneak preview. Enjoy!
Hi, my name is Enoch Glidden. I am an ambassador for an adaptive rock climbing organization called Paradox Sports. We facilitate rock climbing for all abilities throughout the United States. From outdoor climbing to training gyms, staff, we cover all aspects of adaptive climbing. In fact, we have a nice climbing trip coming up in February at Rumney, New Hampshire. Our trips and trainings allow anyone, from the complete beginner to experienced outdoors people, to try out rock and ice climbing in a controlled and safe environment. I have had the opportunity to climb in many amazing places with Paradox and highly recommend attending one of our trips or checking out one of the over 60 gyms we have trained to facilitate adaptive climbing. You can find more information or sign up at www.paradoxsports.org. I hope to see you at our next trip.
I hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the new episodes. And I would really appreciate it if you leave me a rating on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to learn more about The Active Amputee, make sure to head over to www.theactiveamputee.org, where you find hundreds of articles from amputees for amputees. Articles filled with inspiration, information, and encouragement to be active and live a rewarding life. I see you all again for the next episode. Until then, all the best. This is Bjorn from The Active Amputee.